I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. And next, a gift to our listeners and to us, too. We've invited a special guest on the program to help ring in the holidays and wish us all a very Merry Christmas. To keep the wrapping on just a bit longer, we'll give you some hints. She's a native of Scotland. Her award shelf holds everything from the Grammys to MTV Music Awards, even an Oscar. She made an impact on the music industry with her distinctive voice and unique style as a solo artist and part of this hit-making duo, the Eurythmics. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Yes, that Annie Lennox. That was Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, one of the Eurythmics' 20 international hits. She's out now with a solo album, her first ever holiday album. It's called Christmas Cornucopia. And she's right here with us in Studio 4B, singer, songwriter, and activist Annie Lennox. Thank you so much for coming. Merry Christmas.
Well, yes, indeed. It is the festive season.
So we have to say that Christmas albums often get rather bleak reviews. It's sort of ironic in the holiday season that Christmas albums are often rather cynically received. This one has gotten tremendous reviews, and I hope you're gratified by that. Maybe you don't even care.
Well, reviews are interesting. You're very grateful to get the good ones, and I would say that's when you get put on the pedestal. And then when you get the negative ones, you're down in the pillory. So I think it's a strange place to be. You know, for me, I'll tell you how I started to get an interest in recording Christmas carols. It was ostensibly like this. Having two small children at the time, when it came round to Christmas, I have this little book that I'd found in a secondhand bookstore. And it went right back to the 30s. It was a beautiful illustrated with all the Christmas carols, you know. And it kind of made me, reminisce about the more innocent times of childhood. But then I just thought, one day, I'd really love to explore this and kind of do my own versions of these incredible songs, these carols. But not only that, they're also, they're a touchstone for my own childhood. And the thing is, once you've learned something like that, a song or a carol, it never leaves you. It's the most extraordinary thing.
Well, this album does have some very distinctive touches, and I just want to play one song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It's a very old English traditional Christmas carol, but I just want to give you the Annie Lennox twist. Here it is. In Bethlehem in Israel, this blessed babe was born and laid with when you hear it, you feel as though you've heard it for the first time. And on the other hand, you say, you know, of course. I mean, this story originates in this part of the world. I'm just curious, given that you say you're not terribly religious or you are terribly well-traveled, how this occurred to you?
When I sit down and I start to play, that's usually the way I approach recording. I will come to a chord that really intrigues me and makes me feel something. Then all my lights are on then. I'm like, whoa, that is where I want to go. Once you get that feeling like, whoa, I'm onto something, it follows on from there if you're lucky, you know.
I want to play another track that you recorded with the African Children's Choir. Could you just tell us a little bit about this collaboration? You decided to record a French song with them, which I'm going to tell you. Let you get the title because I don't speak French. I'm going to mess it up.
Hey.
It'll sound terrible coming out of my...
Well, I had this, for quite a few years, I was thinking, wow, I really would love to record these carols that I've sung as a child that really intrigue me, that are so beautiful. And then there was another kind of dream that came into that, which was, I'd like to... ask the African Children's Choir, if there's any choir of children that I would like to record with, it has to be them. I met them in 2004 when I was performing for Nelson Mandela's 46664 event, and I was so impressed and touched by their vitality, the fact that they've been taken into a situation that is life transforming, and the story is incredible. 25 years ago, the founder of the choir was living in Uganda. He was working for an NGO there, and he saw all these orphan kids, and he was like, I know, I'm going to start a choir. This is how great ideas happen. They're really obscure. And that's it. That's what he's done. And you know, the vision of African children, sub-Saharan African children, is more than often very desperate. And you see children in rags, without shoes, without opportunities, and they're stuck in the hole of extreme poverty, chronic poverty. And I think that seeing the African Children's Choir, they are ambassadors for the future as it should be, as it could be, if we cared enough.
Well, one of the things that's interesting about this album is the way that, in a very, I would say, gentle way, links the Christmas story, which does have tragic elements, with the things that children face today. And
You got that.
Well, I mean, well, for those who are not aware of the whole of the Christmas story, is that according to the Gospels, the ruler at the time, Sir King Herod, had heard through prophecy that there was a power greater than him about to displace him. And so he ordered the death of the firstborn of every household. And if you think about it, it is just a terrible crime against humanity.
It's infanticide.
It is infanticide, but it's the kind of thing that we have seen in this time.
You're seeing it in our times.
We've seen it in our times.
It's not about ancient times. It's really, this is the point, is that we look back in civilizations before us and we say, wow, they were so brutal, they were so cruel. And actually what I feel is that in the contemporary times, we are equally as brutal, if not even more so, because we are informed. And when we don't act and when we don't engage and we don't say, look, this shouldn't be happening, then what humanity are we? What type of humanity are we?
Well, it's also, I think there's been an unawareness that many modern war crimes are intended to, you know, kill the next generation, either through shame or through actual kind of murder. And I think this song, which I think many people will have heard, but they might hear it in a new way, it recalls that. And the song is called Lule Lule. And here it is.
Then woe is me, poor child.
Lule, lule, why
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with singer-songwriter and activist Annie Lennox. We're talking about her new album, Christmas Cornucopia. It's her first holiday album. We're also talking about some other things that are on her mind, including her humanitarian work, especially in the field of HIV/AIDS prevention. So tell me about that, if you would. You were involved in this at a time when, I have to say, it wasn't terribly fashionable. It was actually somewhat controversial for some because there were a lot of myths around HIV/AIDS when you first got involved in it.
Well, really goes back to the 80s with Lee Blake and the Red Hot and Blue Project. That was the first musical project that was actually directly highlighting the situation of HIV and AIDS with different artists. And I recorded a version of Every Time We Say Goodbye. And that was my first induction into AIDS, and I worked with Derek Jarman, who actually tragically passed away from HIV and AIDS-related illness. And he was the first person I'd met who was HIV positive, and that was very thought-provoking. But that was in the 80s. And now in the Western countries, there's a very different view on AIDS, and maybe in some way this kind of complacency that didn't arise in the 80s because everybody was so shocked. In any case, we have to cut to my next real hardcore encounter with it, which is back in 2003. I went to perform for Nelson Mandela, among many other artists. We arrived in Cape Town to launch his campaign. And he said that HIV is a genocide that's taking place in his country and that is affecting women and children to a vast degree. And that was a turning point for me. And I thought the dark irony of all of this is that we've been through apartheid and here you see a nation, the South African nation, inheriting a virus that is silently killing 1,000 people on a daily basis. One third of all pregnant women in South Africa are carrying the HIV virus. What does that mean for the future?
Do you feel that there's progress since you first started working in this area?
There is progress. Thank goodness, because of the incredible work of so many hundreds of thousands of NGOs and people, individuals, collective people. Now, my main interest in all of this is because I'm a woman and I'm a mother and I've had great access to health care. I lost my first child and that was tremendously traumatic for me.
I'm sorry.
No, well, it happens to millions and millions of women. And the thing that comes out of these personal tragedies, if it can happen, is that you have this awakening. You understand suddenly, my God, whoa, I didn't realize. And that wakens you up. And then the next logical evolutionary step would be to say, I'd like to engage with this. I'd like to do something. For me, it's about women.
How do your children feel about this album?
Oh, I hope they like it. I mean, you know, it's...
They're too cool for Christmas albums.
I think
albums.
It's something about, you know, the cool thing. No, I know that they like it. I know they do. But, you know, my kids are very into their own lives and I'm very much into mine. And it's kind of a bit like that. I know they see me and they know, you know, because
it's not heavy metal, so they have no time
No, they wouldn't. It wouldn't be heavy metal.
Okay. Something. Okay. Well, what show should we go out on? I was thinking, you wrote one original song for the album. It's called Universal Child. Should we?
Yes, that would be most
appropriate. And tell us a little bit about that song. And I will mention that the proceeds from that song will also go to the charities with which you are involved.
Yeah, I have my own foundation. I formed my own foundation, the Annie Lennox Foundation, mm-hmm. as a charitable holding bay because mm-hmm. I think at this stage in life, for me, I'm in a very resourceful place and I like to contribute and I like to support and invest, if you like, in things that I believe in. In any case, I had this title in my head and I went into the studio to record. I started noodling around on the keyboards, as I love to do. And I started to find a melody and I started to find a chordal structure. And I got the first line for this, which was to become a song. So for the rest of the day, the song just emerged and it ended up being this one, which I think is anthemic. And I think I've seen a lot of people tearful when they hear it. I think it causes one to reflect on one's own vulnerability as a child, one's own children's vulnerability, and really the whole world, which is made up of children that are growing up to be adults.
Yeah, would you mind just giving us a verse and then we'll play the rest of it?
Oh, would you like me to sing?
Do you,
of course.
If you do.
I mean, this is all a cappella.
Yes.
How many mountains must you face before you learn to climb. I'm gonna give you what it takes, my universal child.
Annie Lennox is a singer, songwriter, and actress. I think I might cry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pull it back together. Her new album is called Christmas Cornucopia. She was kind enough to join us from our studios in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy
it's
holidays
been so
to
lovely.
You.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bracton Booker, Grant Clark, Bridget DeShagas, Lee Hill, Arjun Hutchins, Zeeshan Jiwani, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Veronica Miller, Emily Oxenschlager, and Amy Ta. Our editors are Kyle McKinnon and Lori Grant. Our director is Monica Evstatieva. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. She had a hand this week from Neil Tevolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. And remember, to tell us more, you can always go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow. Shut